Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
Good morning, Lambert. As Scott mentioned, my name is Kenzie, and I'm one of the pastors here. But doesn't it feel like a heavier morning this morning? I know I'm feeling it. There's been a lingering heaviness since last Sunday for many of us. And now we're heading into Truth and Reconciliation Day, remembering the horrors of residential schools, finding out about those unmarked graves outside the school in Kamloops just 3 years ago, and slowly learning more of the atrocities in our Canadian history committed against the Indigenous peoples. It's a lot. And in moments like this, I think the appropriate response is to, of course, start with some prayer. So please join me. Prince of Peace, loving God, Emmanuel, we are desperate for your presence. There are certain moments when we become more aware of our need for you, and this is one of those moments. Help us to know deep down in our bones that you are truly with us. Help us to experience your presence, your love, and empower us to join you in helping others experience your presence, your love, your goodness. Draw us further into your kingdom and send us out to spread your kingdom. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for inviting all of us into the work that you are doing, empowering all of us, pouring your spirit out on all of us, women and men. You know that this has been a challenging week, month, for our church, where we have had to navigate how to love your child, Stephen, while also protecting the respect and dignity of the women amongst us, as well as our right to serve you with all the gifts that you have given us. And with this backdrop, Truth and Reconciliation Day approaches. You have called us to face the truth and to work for true reconciliation, true peacemaking, not just peacekeeping that sweeps problems under the rug. This is something we need your help to do. It's uncomfortable, overwhelming, and our instincts often scream at us to retreat, to comfort, or even to get defensive. But your spirit calls us to do the right thing. Empower us to follow your call. Give us the courage to face the truth, even for the difficult situations, the painful histories that are part of this life, and guide us to respond to those realities with your wisdom and care for the ones vulnerable in our society. Amen. As you have likely already noticed, this morning is going to be a bit different from our typical Sundays here. I feel like I've said that a lot this past month, so I do want to assure you, next week things will be going back to normal with Scott starting his series on Ephesians. But today is the day before National Truth and Reconciliation Day. Two things that are core to God's heart and his call on our lives: to face the truth and to bring reconciliation to all things. All relationships that were hurt by sin entering the world, including our relationships with each other. Nearly as soon as sin entered the world, sin led us to start trying to divide people into better thans and lesser thans. And when the Europeans came over to this land, the pattern continued, and the Indigenous people were treated horrendously as a result. What's worse, the church's involvement. And the idea of Christianity was entwined with popular culture and the government in Europe, and so this pattern of dividing people was done by the church, even when not directly done by the church, in the name of God. What a terrible blasphemy. And many years later, most of us find ourselves in the dark about how Indigenous people were treated and even how they continue to be treated. We are called to love our neighbors, to fight injustice all throughout the Bible. This is just a small smattering of verses that call us there. But how do we do that when we barely know the truth of the injustices of the past, the ones that continue today, or even by what actions our Indigenous neighbors have stated that they would feel loved? Which makes me thankful for Truth and Reconciliation Day. A day to remind myself that I still have more to learn. A day to break through the busyness of our normal lives and remind us that this too is important. Important as a Canadian, of course, but even more so as a Christian. Each year, it feels like I'm only learning the smallest amount compared to all there is to learn. But baby steps in the right direction are better than nothing. Not that our learning should be restricted to any one day in the year, but rather that baby steps in the right direction at any point in the year is worth it. And having a marked day is a helpful gift to remember that, to support us in this. So today, we will take some time to remember God's call to care for each other, especially in situations where some of our neighbors have been treated badly, when some of our neighbors were left vulnerable by society, seen as less than by society. And then we will spend some time in prayer. That will be a big chunk of our time today. Because anything worth doing is beyond our power to do alone. We cry out to God because we know we need help. But God chooses to work in and through us. We have a God that does not want to change the world without us. So this is not about spending some time in prayer and considering the work done. It is about recognizing prayer as the first and oh so important step, but not the last step. Let's turn to Isaiah 58, specifically verses 1-7. We can see God's command to love our neighbors is all throughout the Bible. I've already touched on that. Even the briefest overview of the Bible lets us see that justice is one of God's central concerns. Because while humanity throughout history have often tried to separate our allegiance and obedience to God from how we care for each other, how we treat those God loves, which is all of us, God has never done this. Isaiah 58 is a great example of seeing God's heart on this matter. Notice how important he considers it that we care well for each other, that we fight the injustices that hurt the vulnerable in our society. He does not treat this as if it were only of second-rate importance for those who call themselves his followers. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. We have fasted, they say, and you have not seen it. We have humbled ourselves and you have not noticed. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. In some ways, I think this passage is pretty self-explanatory. God cares about us working to end injustice, setting the oppressed free of their oppression, feeding the hungry, providing shelter to those without. He cares that we engage with the world for the well-being of those around us, especially those who are particularly vulnerable in a given society. He is not simply concerned that we make it into heaven when we die, or that we bring as many people with us as we can. He also cares for our lives right here and now. He does not want us to just love him with everything we've got. He also wants us to love our neighbor. There is so much more that I would like to say, even while recognizing that I don't know how to address a problem as widespread and complicated and overwhelming as white supremacy and racism. But thankfully, there are a number of absolutely brilliant pastors and theologians who have personally experienced the sharp sting of racism that have still been willing to write books and record podcasts and offer their advice to us, distilling down the guidance offered to us through the Bible on this topic, because it's there. People who have such intensely godly character that they are willing to help us, to give us a hand up as we stumble our way through an issue that breaks our heart, but has caused them such significant direct pain. I wanted to reference them all, but obviously I don't have time because I wanted to make room for prayer. So I simply want to point to a sample right now to show that we do not need to stumble through this alone. I'm happy to chat more about these books after the service if you'd like, but I also want to point out that on our website, we have a tab where we have collected a number of resources of a variety of media types. Books, podcasts, videos, both of the recorded lecture type and with a bit more production quality. But for right now, let's transition to prayer. James advises us that everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. We will be following this advice for the rest of our time together, which I imagine for many of us in here is a relief, considering that we're going to be praying about reconciliation. Because many of us don't even know how to start praying for this. But thankfully, we have the Truth and Reconciliation Report, a report on the residential schools published just 9 years ago that also includes a path to reconciliation. That path can be found in the 94 calls to action that the report includes. And these calls to action will be the focus of our prayer. But not all 94, don't worry. That would be overwhelming and impossible to do in our short time today. So instead, the 94 calls to action are broken down into categories. The first 42 focus on legacy and are divided into these categories. And calls 43 to 94 are specifically on reconciliation and are broken down into quite a few categories. If you take a moment to even just briefly read through some of these, you'll notice they cover quite a few areas of life. This is not just government work. There's also youth programs, museums, business, education, and of course, churches. By listening to the Indigenous communities, even indirectly through this report and the calls to action put through it, we can practice being quick to listen and slow to speak in our reconciliation efforts. Obeying multiple areas of God's call on our life while also reducing the pressure we may feel to come up with reconciliation ideas all on our own. Being quick to listen and slow to speak, especially for those of us who are white, in areas where the brokenness is a result of white supremacy, is important. Incredibly important. "I'm sorry and I'm listening" is likely a phrase that you've heard when it comes to reconciliation. A phrase those who have been hurt by racism have asked those of us who want to come alongside and help to use. Oshita Moore describes why, particularly as Christians, this is a good approach for us to take for reconciliation. As peacemakers, we're tasked with identifying with our Prince of Peace, who overcame our bloodthirsty enemy by shedding his own blood. Selflessness and love flows from the cross and lays our chosen path, humility. I'm sorry tames the anger. I'm sorry respects the pain. I'm sorry positions us as a friend and not an adversary. I'm listening because we are called to be reconcilers. Like Jesus reconciled us to the Father, it's a painful process, a denying process, an often humiliating process, but a kingdom process nonetheless. I'm listening says, yes, I have an opinion, and yes, I have strong feelings, and yes, this makes me feel more than a little helpless, but I'm going to press into this specific pain and listen. Right now, kingdom people, our Prince of Peace is asking us to rally behind him with few words, compassionate hearts, and listening ears. So we will start by familiarizing ourselves a bit with some of the calls to actions and spending some time in prayer with them. In a moment, we will turn to this slide that has three QR codes and one of the sections listed behind. Has a section listed by the QR codes. Each code will take you to the calls to action associated with that call, that section of the calls. Except that it'll actually take you to a learning and prayer guide created by the Alliance Church to help you better understand the calls. So there'll be information on the calls and an offered prayer if you find yourself at loss for words. Whichever code you choose, they're all good to pray through, so it's not like there's one that's better than the other. I ask that you read through all the calls in that section and then spend time praying for them. This might feel overwhelming, but what we figured out at our last prayer night focused on these calls to action was that each of these sections can be read and prayed for in about 5 minutes. Doesn't leave time for a long, in-depth prayer, but most of us don't feel comfortable doing that anyway, especially given our unfamiliarity with the topic. Much of the time, we simply used the offered prayer to give us words to pray, and that absolutely still counts as prayer. So we will do this twice. Choose one of three sections, read through all the calls to action in that section, and then pray for the remaining time. Just 5 minutes, long enough to learn and pray, but not so long that we'll get overwhelmed. Then repeat with a different three sections to choose from for another 5 minutes. Some practical advice. We don't have time to move the chairs around to make little huddles or anything like that. So this will be individual prayer or maybe prayer with a person right next to you if you prefer to do that. To get the QR codes to work, you'll likely have to zoom in because you'll need for your camera to only see one of them at a time, otherwise it gets a little confused. And if you're completely new to QR codes, you can access them through your phone's camera. You don't need to take a picture, just focus your camera on the code until a little bubble thing pops up that offers to take you to a web page. That web page has those calls to action. And if all of this sounds really overwhelming, or your phone is simply not cooperating this morning, you can pop your hand up, and I have a few friends around the room who will hand you hard copies of one of the sections. Okay, I think we are ready to start. Let's spend some time putting our faith into practice, being quick to listen, loving our neighbors, moving towards loosening the chains of injustice, seeking the truth of our nation and reconciliation with our Indigenous neighbors whom God loves so dearly.